Oh, wow. It's time for Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.
Hello, Marcus. Okay. How are you?
Hi, good. Hi, good, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And we are getting very busy at the radio station now with everyone coming back. I don't suppose you're heading back to school, though, anytime soon?
Not if I can help it. No, I'll stay at home as long as possible, I think.
Brilliant. Hey, so our first story today is talking about vaccines for coronavirus.
Yeah, that's right. So there's been a lot of work done trying to come up with a vaccine. It's not and something that's going to be, you know, very imminent, but there are several big groups around the world with some promising data. So on May 18th, there's a US biotech firm called Moderna. They revealed first data from human trials, and the good news is its vaccine triggered an immune response in people, and it also protected mice from lung infections with the SARS COVID-2 vaccine virus. And that was seen as very, very positive, and it sent stock prices surging, of course. But a lot of scientists are saying the data is not really enough. There's not enough detail yet, and so they need much more published data, peer-reviewed data, to sort of really verify the claims. There's a couple of other companies. There's an Oxford University group in the UK. They have developed a vaccine that was shown to protect 6 monkeys from pneumonia when they were infected with the virus. But some of these vaccines are showing that they may prevent infections of the lungs, which is obviously a very important place, because that's where a lot of the infections get pretty bad, as we've talked about clotting and things like that in the past. But they seem to not be able to protect other parts of the body. So these monkeys' noses harbored as much vaccine as those of unvaccinated monkeys. So that's, you know, positive and negatives. There's a group in China who are also starting to get some strong results. But it's still, the early data is starting to offer some clues about how the coronavirus vaccines might generate some strong immune response. Yeah.
That's good.
Yes, it is good. But even so, you're still looking at 12 to 18 months before properly developed vaccine. Yeah.
That's the kind of like normal length of time.
I think even that is fast. It just takes time to get through all the trials that need to be done, for it to be sure it's safe. And this would be really just for the first generation vaccine. You know, this is just the first stab at it. And then as we understand more and more about how this infection works, then there'll be second and third generation vaccines that come out at a later date that should maybe more and more effective.
So we just have to sit and wait, I suppose.
Yeah, we do, and it's really waiting for the science to catch up. Because there's all sorts of different approaches to creating these vaccines, and it's really not clear which is going to work. So for instance, this US biotech firm Moderna, their vaccine consists of something called messenger RNA, which are the instructions for building the sort of the spiky protein that's on the outside of this virus. And what it does, this RNA, it causes the human cells to churn out this foreign protein, which alerts the immune system. It's not virulent. It doesn't lead to an infection, but it alerts the immune system that something with this structure is there, and it potentially can then lead to an immune response.
Well, that sounds brilliant. That's something.
Yeah. Well, that's just one of many approaches, I think. Yeah.
No, well, that's very cool to hear, and it's cool, I guess, that work continues to be done. We are lucky people that this is on its way and happening.
Well, if you compare how we, you know, our situation now to how people were 100 years ago when the last major pandemic, you know, the Spanish flu, when that struck, they didn't have all of these technologies. And I guess that's why millions and millions of people died. So we have a hope here that you know, modern technology, the last 100 years or so of development, has really made a big difference.
Very positive. Okay, thank you for that update, Marcus. We'll move into the SpaceX launching astronauts, I suppose.
Yeah, this is cool. I love these. This is basically sending humans back into space. Not that we haven't been there fairly recently. We're there right now. In fact, there's people in the space International Space Station right at this moment. But this is the first time the U.S. has launched a rocket on U.S. soil since 2011. And this will be Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday afternoon. So it'll be Thursday morning here, early-ish. I think about 8 o'clock-ish Thursday morning. It'll be live streamed, so you can go and watch it on the internet if you want to see it. But there's a few firsts here. So this is the first time. So this is not a NASA rocket they're going on. This is a rocket by a company called SpaceX that has been launching satellites and sort of building a sort of a dominant presence in this space launch market, I guess. And this is the first time a private company has flown humans to orbit, if it works, and it'll be the first time astronauts have launched from U.S. soil since the space shuttle in 2011, the last flight of the space shuttle.
Wow.
And it's the first time in 17 years that anyone has launched a new type of spaceship to carry humans into Earth orbit. So the spacecraft that people have been using, the space shuttle and the Soyuz crafts in Russia, you know, they're old, and it's been a long time since we've actually developed something new.
Right. And that, I mean, that's because, though, there's quite a bit of money behind SpaceX?
Well, I think NASA is shifting its sort of its priorities a little bit to not just to low Earth orbit, but actually taking humans beyond low Earth orbit, like back to the moon and then maybe to Mars and other places. And so it's encouraged these private companies, and SpaceX isn't the only one. Boeing is another company that is also getting a rocket and a capsule ready, so that can maybe start taking astronauts up next year. But yeah, NASA sort of tried to encourage this, and so yeah, these are private companies. They're making money. NASA is paying, I think it said $60 million. So SpaceX is getting $60 million from NASA to launch these NASA astronauts, but that's still cheaper than NASA is paying the Russians. They were getting $90 million for every launch, so I guess it's a three for the price of two in this case.
Wow, there's like a whole industry going on here. I thought NASA would want to maintain a bit of a monopoly.
Well, I think NASA can't do it all, and I don't think funding for NASA is going up or really changing very much in the U.S. And certainly in the current climate, it'll probably be getting less. So they had to sort of change their priorities. NASA's been going to low Earth orbit for a long time now. They built the space station with help from international partners, but they know how to do that now. What they don't know how to do is how to, you know, make going to the moon routine and make going to Mars, a target, so that they can aim for that instead of just doing the same old, just going to low Earth orbit. So they still want people to do that. So this is why they thought, okay, well, now we'll hand it over. You private people can do that. We'll train the astronauts. It's still a very NASA-controlled mission, but SpaceX is supplying the rockets and sort of the hardware that takes them there.
I see. Okay, exciting. And, yeah, I suppose opening up the ground a bit to it.
Yeah, and so if anyone wants to watch, it'll be on, certainly if you go to the NASA website tomorrow morning. I think it's around 8, but maybe just check, and it'll be live streamed in the morning.
Will do. All right, thank you. And our last story will be the dinosaur asteroid trajectory was a perfect storm, it says.
Apparently. Well, I mean, it obviously wiped all the dinosaurs out. So apparently, this is an article I read recently. There's a obviously, it's about 66 million years ago. They think a big asteroid hit planet Earth, and that was not good news for the dinosaurs, and it wasn't good news for a lot of other living species. About 75 of all species on the planet, including the dinosaurs, were wiped out.
Wow.
We think we know, we have evidence that this was an asteroid. There's, we think we know where the impact crater was. So it's in near the Yucatan Peninsula in the Gulf of Mexico. Mm. And they've identified the structures that look like it was formed by an asteroid. Anyway, they've looked at in detail at the shape of this crater and the sort of the angles of the rocks in this crater, and they've determined that this the angle of this asteroid was somewhere between about 45 and 60 degrees, which is probably the sweet spot for launching as much rock and debris into high altitude and blocking out the sun and basically doing the best possible job of killing everything, as much life as possible.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty devastating. Note yes, to finish on. Should we let you go for now? Is that?
I think might be a good idea. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well, let's. We'll put the link of that story into the podcast so everyone can hear it. Because yeah, I think we continue to talk about that all the time. But thank you very much, Marcus, for joining us. We'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.
Okay. See you soon.
See ya.
Mind blowing. That was Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology. Auckland.